from St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. Missouri legislators were off this week for their annual spring break, and that comes after an eventful first half of the session. The House passed a number of high-profile bills, including a proposal that Governor Mike Kehoe supports to, with voter approval, phase out Missouri's income tax and allow legislators to expand Missouri's sales tax. The sponsor of that ballot measure, GOP House Speaker John Patterson, conceded last week that the proposal is a massive undertaking.
When you try to do something really transformative, it's not easy. There are so many opposing forces, and just the inertia factor alone, it's just much easier to say, let's just do what we've been doing and hope for different results. And I just don't see it that way. I think the governor doesn't see it that way. And I think our membership on our side doesn't see it that way. And so I think this takes a bold step and takes it to the voters and says, do you want to look at doing this another way?
Democrats, though, contend that the income tax plan could saddle the state's residents with higher costs on an array of services. And Democratic State Senator Maggie Nirenberg says the plan is an especially bad idea when the state budget picture is grim.
Missouri's facing cuts to our safety net services, to child care, to disability services, domestic violence shelters, mental health and treatment programs, and public education. When the Senate returns from spring break, I hope it returns with a sense of purpose to address the very real budget issues that we are facing ahead.
So how will the second half of the Missouri General Assembly session shake out? Joining us now to preview what's to come in Jefferson City is Republican State Representative George Haruza, who represents a portion of St. Louis County in the Missouri House. Representative Haruza, welcome.
Thank you.
And we also have Democratic State Senator Tracy McCreary, who represents a number of municipalities in St. Louis County in the Missouri Senate. Senator, welcome to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air.
Thanks for having us.
Representative Haruza, the House ended up passing the income tax phase-out plan that Governor Kehoe championed in his State of the State speech before spring break. This is a major change to how the state brings in revenue. Why do you think it was able to pass in the first half of the session?
Well, it is a priority for the governor. It is a priority for the Republican caucus, GOP caucus. And it's time for us to really allow Missouri to move ahead. Missouri's been falling behind over the last number 45 years or so, 50, 60 years. One thing I looked at is how we compare to another state that has no income tax. That's Tennessee. So our population grew in the last 65 years by 50%. Tennessee's population has grown by 100%. It's doubled. Growth-wise, our GOP was 42% larger in 1965 than Tennessee's. Today, Tennessee's GDP is 26% larger than Missouri's GDP. So Missouri's been pedaling along. Tennessee's taken off. And the main difference between the two states is no state income tax. So to me, this is a recipe for growth, population growth, job growth, investment.
Also, Dolly Parton. I mean, we don't have Dolly Parton, but we do have Dolly Parton Stampede in Branson.
We have Branson, and so the states are very similar in that way.
Senator McCreary, how do you think senators will react to this plan when it inevitably gets taken up when you get back to Jefferson City?
Well, the Democrats in both the House and the Senate have made it very clear that we do not support any new taxes. And when you look at the proposal to eliminate the state's income tax, the only way to make that work for the state of Missouri is that the Republican proposal says that people would have to pay higher sales taxes on just about everything. So, you know, Democrats do not want people to have to pay any more than necessary. And I think for the vast majority of Missouri families, the idea of eliminating the income tax might sound okay, but the reality is they're going to pay a lot more for things that they need to get by. And, you know, right now, you know, gas is a dollar more per gallon here in the state of Missouri. We're paying higher, Missouri families are paying higher prices on everything because of tariffs, inflation, and some corporate handouts that the legislature has passed recently. So, you know, I don't think that Missourians should let politicians have unchecked power to raise sales taxes, and that's what that proposal would do.
Representative Haruza mentioned the other states that don't have income taxes. And when I presented what you basically said to Governor Kehoe in January about isn't this going to saddle people with more money? This is how he ended up responding.
Well, I think widening the sales tax base to a more modern tax economy, as I mentioned, our current tax code was written in 1935. And if your listeners think about the things that they've purchased in the last few days or the last few minutes, most of those things probably weren't around in 1935. So moving away from the checkbook economy more to the economy that we're used to right now, I think is a good move.
That was Governor Mike Kehoe speaking with St. Louis Public Radio after his State of the State speech in January. Senator, when this bill, it's not a bill, it's a proposed ballot initiative, comes to the floor, you're going to hear a lot from your Republican colleagues about how the tax system is antiquated and needs to be, quote, modernized. Well, what's going to be the Democratic response to that?
Well, we don't disagree that the tax structure should be updated and modernized. But if we want to talk about Tennessee, Tennessee pays four times more than the state of Missouri on grocery taxes. I don't think anybody, any of your listeners want to pay a 4% tax on groceries, just a state tax. Also in Tennessee, their corporate tax is 2.5% higher than what we pay in Missouri. So you have to take a look at all of the taxes. And if we're trying to grow Missouri's economy, I don't think increasing sales taxes on all kinds of things makes any sense. But also, talk to some of these business owners. They don't want to pay more in corporate tax or more in franchise tax. And that's where Tennessee has higher taxes than Missouri.
Representative, if voters approve this plan, it would give legislators a lot of power to expand the sales tax on things that are not currently taxed right now, mainly services. Governor Kehoe mentioned like Amazon subscriptions and the like. And while Governor Kehoe and Speaker Patterson listed off things they would not want to be taxed, like things with medical and agriculture, when we had State Senator Ben Brown of Franklin County on the show, he pointed out that the legislature needs to be wary of giving too many exemptions to the expanded tax.
If you open this up, you open Pandora's box and you're giving out all these exemptions, that's going to lead to a higher sales tax rate. And that's something that we have to be very mindful of. So I think that there are a few things have been pointed out by the governor, by the speaker, that I think you can make very good cases for. But other than that, I think that we need to be very disciplined and ensure that we're keeping that sales tax rate overall very low, too.
That was Republican State Senator Ben Brown on a recent episode of the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. So, Representative, how do you balance the need to recoup the lost revenue from the end of the income tax with the potential harm of making everything more expensive? Because if you do too many exemptions, the state budget will fall off a cliff. But if you expand it to everything, everything gets more expensive.
Well, for one thing, is the whole proposal is structured to be revenue neutral. So there's no, if you do more exemptions, that just means you can't reduce the income tax by as much. It's totally balanced. So there's no overall increase. There's just a change of how we tax, and the things that we would be looking at taxing, the services are far more paid by higher income individuals than lower income individuals. So, for example, there's no talk about changing the grocery tax or changing the rate on goods, which would be called a regressive tax. It's expanding it to things such as your CPA, pays the CPA, lawn care, pool service, massage therapy. Those are what some people might consider luxury goods, or at least goods that are, or services that are used much more by higher income individuals. So this expanded tax will fall much more heavier on higher income individuals. So in fact, our overall sales tax structure will become less regressive than it is currently when it's limited to goods.
So I mentioned on the outset that this is going to have voter approval because the legislature does not have the ability right now to expand certain taxes without voter approval. And there's going to be a lot of well-organized opposition to this from people from all those groups you mentioned are not going to want to be taxed. How do you get through that opposition?
Well, we just have to carry our message that thinking about what is the end goal here, which I mentioned earlier. It has to do with improving the lives of Missourians as overall, so that the vast majority of Missourians will benefit from having a shifting from the income tax to the sales tax. It kind of brings to mind Kennedy's quote, which was, don't ask what the country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And what I'm hearing, all those special interest groups who are going to try to get exemptions, that's because they want to see what's in it for me. And I would hope people would look at it, what's in it for the state overall, for it to be sustainable going forward.
Senator, I think even Republicans will acknowledge that they face a lot of tough headwinds going into the election season. When I saw the representative at Lincoln Days, he actually told me that St. Louis County could be really challenging for Republicans. So how does that kind of factor into the calculus about whether Democrats let this go on the ballot? It's a risky move, because if this passes, this is going to have a massive impact on the state budget. But if Democrats are betting that it will fail because Democratic turnout's going to be high and Democratic voters may not like this, maybe put this on the ballot and have it be shot down. What are Democrats thinking right now?
Well, this is too important of an issue to play political games with, quite honestly. You know, when you look at what's happening with the state of Missouri's budget, we are in a bad situation. Inflation's up. Revenues coming into the state are headed for a downturn. We've got a bunch of tax breaks for the wealthy taking effect. And, you know, the reality is Missourians care about their neighbors and those that are in their communities. And right now, this budget that we're working on that we have to have to the governor in early May has draconian cuts to things that are very, very important to Missourians. The governor's budget proposed a cut of $1 million for domestic violence shelter services. That is preposterous, because even without that cut, more than 30,000 adults and children are turned away from domestic violence shelters. We're seeing drastic cuts to child care. The Republican House Budget Chair has proposed a huge cut to child care. And these subsidies are things that cover the cost of daycare for low-income kids and foster children. So things that are important to Missourians cost money. And I think it's irresponsible to have a discussion about cutting the state's income tax when we're not also talking about the drastic, draconian cuts that have to happen to balance the budget.
We're talking with State Senator Tracy McCreary of St. Louis County and State Representative George Haruza of St. Louis County. So I want to bring an issue to both of your attention. Last year, the legislature approved in a special session a tax credit for insurance deductibles incurred during a 2025 natural disaster, such as the May 16th tornado. It was in a larger bill that included incentives for sports stadiums. Because the bill is currently under litigation, the Missouri Department of Revenue is holding off on applying the tax credit to Missourians' tax situations. What do you both think of this, and should it prompt legislators to pass this tax credit as a standalone piece of legislation so May 16th tornado victims, full disclosure, like myself, can benefit from this credit? Senator, I'll start with you.
Yeah, well, I think that the legislature should be united in making sure the Department of Revenue has clarity on what we intended with that language. You know, people need to have money in their pockets right now. Things are getting more and more expensive. So anything that we can do as a legislature to get more money into people's pockets, that's the thing we should do. So I'm going to be looking for opportunities between now and when session adjourns to either, you know, to put on an amendment that gives clear direction to the Department of Revenue.
Representative, what do you think about that?
I totally agree. This is an area I think that would have broad bipartisan support, that the individuals that have been so severely affected by the tornado should get all the help we can get them to get back on their feet and rebuild.
In the last couple minutes, and I would love to talk about these bills more fulsomely, I want to talk about two bills that you all are sponsoring. Senator McCreary, you want to repeal a bunch of sports stadium incentives. Why do you want to do that? And could it run into opposition from people that like funding sports stadiums?
Well, I think that when we look at the state's budget outlook for the next several years, big picture, we need to make sure that we are being responsible with taxpayer money. And there's not a well-recognized economist out there that says that using taxpayer money for stadiums is a good thing. So I want to make sure that we have, that we're treating taxpayer money with respect and that we're funding things that are truly important to the state, including transportation funding, infrastructure investment, supporting public education, healthcare, you name it. We should not be giving away money, taxpayer money, to billionaire stadium owners.
Representative, you have sponsored legislation requiring schools to outline prohibited anti-Semitic actions in their codes of conduct, including penalties for harassment. Detractors of this legislation argue it's aimed to stifle any criticism of Israel. What do you make of that argument, and where do you think it's going to go in the Senate, given that this passed by a pretty large margin and included a lot of Democratic votes?
Yes, it was a bipartisan, because our, we see the dramatic increase in anti-Semitic incidents, 900% over the last 10 years and 300% since October 7th. So there's bipartisan support and interest in keeping our Jewish students safe, being able to focus on their studies rather than being afraid of being accosted, harassed, intimidated. We had testimony was somewhere it was heartrending that we heard in the in our committee of students in our schools here in the St. Louis County that have been subject to that harassment. So the bill very specifically, in three ways, protects free speech, because that was the concern. And it also includes, both in the definition of anti-Semitism and in the bill specifically, that criticism of Israel, as you would criticize another country, is not anti-Semitic. The other part is the bill very specifically and clearly, in several places, protects First Amendment right of free speech, and it even enumerates that ideological, religious, and political speech is explicitly protected by the bill. So we try to cover all those areas. It is really when this becomes action, which leads to intimidation, harassment of the students. Bullying would be another term. So, calling a Jewish student, you dirty Jew, you don't deserve to live. We've got to kill all the Jews because they're killing all the Palestinians. That kind of stuff would be not permitted.
But saying that I think Israel is committing genocide in Gaza, it would be just a political statement, basically.
Correct. If you do that in the general way, if it's directed at the specific person and blaming the Jewish student for committing genocide in Gaza, that would be the problem.
Just very quickly, we only have a minute or so left. Senator McCreary, how do you think Representative Peruzza's bill will fare in the Senate?
I think that the bill will pass. I think there is agreement that we should do everything we can to make sure students feel safe and can focus on their studies. You know, I think moving forward, we'll have some healthy debate on that in the Senate. But there is agreement that we want to keep all students safe and free from harassment and intimidation.
And what do you think about getting rid of the sports stadium incentives?
I have been thinking a little bit about that. And, one concern is that we've already put it into legislation, so it is part of the legislation. but I think if that kind of bill comes up, I would be seriously looking at it favorably.
Today's episode was produced by Jason Rosenbaum.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Dorr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.